I'm Nathan Cones here with your midday news for Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. The Carroll City Council voted 5-1 at Monday's meeting to schedule the public hearing on a proposed development agreement and urban renewal area for Ziegler Equipment. Nearly 2.5 years ago, the city annexed 30 acres just west of Carroll to build a new location for the company. Multiple factors, primarily slowdowns in Iowa's ag economy, hindered the project from moving forward more quickly, but City Manager Aaron Quicker says Ziegler is now ready to proceed.
They were wanting to be in business as of January 1 of this year, which is why it turned into them putting in the infrastructure for us rather than us doing the infrastructure. We got to this point with this development agreement. The urban renewal is actually already in place, so this development agreement is just more of the finalizing Ziegler Caterpillar coming to Carroll. We're asking to set the public hearing for this development agreement.
The city's investment in that project is $1.1 million, which will be provided in the form of a 20-year forgivable loan to Ziegler for the infrastructure installation. The agreement solidifies the equipment's dealer plans to construct a 7,400-square-foot retail and warehouse facility with a minimum actual value of at least $5.5 million. The site will also bring a minimum of 6 new jobs to Carroll. Ward 2 Councilman Jason Atherton says the city's proposed investment has remained around the same amount for the duration of negotiations, but the scope of the project has shrunk considerably when compared to the initial offer.
Originally, this deal came to us at a $35 million building, 20 to 40 jobs with a possible of 60 jobs if Fort Dodge shut down for the $1.1 million. I'll use a similar deal that we just did with Echo, which is $104,000 for a $4 million building and 9 employees. Now we are at a $1.1 million job for a $5 million up to 6 people.
No, they're required to have 6.
They're required to have 6. Okay, so they're required to have 6. With these two as kind of the baseline of where this deal was, I've tried to comprehend this through my head of how we got to this evaluation on this building coming in here at $1.1 million for a $5 million building.
Ward 4 Councilwoman Carolyn Seaman raised a point of order to Atherton's question, noting the agenda calls only for setting of a public hearing, not debate over the terms of the agreement itself. Quicker says, decided to answer anyway, and says it can be challenging to compare development agreements head-to-head as site selection, job creation, infrastructure needs, and more all play significant roles in the process. He uses the Echo Electric agreement as an example.
To give a 1,000-foot view, when we did Echo, Echo was combining a number of buildings within town to move into their one building. So they weren't really bringing 9 new jobs to town. They were combining jobs into that one building. So, and that's why each development agreement is completely different than one to, as opposed to the other, because when we do the development agreement, you have to look at what they're doing and then what we can work out with the TIF agreement and how we can repay that.
In Echo's case, there was already existing infrastructure nearby their site, so the city's investment by default was already going to be lower than all new installation for infrastructure. The council ended up voting 5-1, Atherton being the sole nay vote, to schedule the public hearing for the Ziegler proposal to the May 26th meeting. Near the end of Monday's meeting, Ward 1 Councilwoman Deb Koster did note recent concerns about the city's transparency involving economic development negotiations and how proposals are presented. She cited the Gulfview Development Agreement with Kirchhoff Craftsman Incorporated and noted that agreement had been signed by the developer prior to the council's meeting. However, that signed version was not presented to city officials. Quicker says he cannot say for certain why the signed copy was not included in the council's packet, but generally speaking, city staff will always bring a pre-agreed-to agreement to the council for consideration. He says it would be disadvantageous to the city to have the council approve an agreement without the other party already committed. A link to Monday's council meeting video is included with this story on our website. And a recent barbecue fundraiser here in Carroll generated over $10,000 in support of individuals with disabilities here in the area, primarily going through the New Hope site. The Cookies Barbecue Rib Wagon, again, as they have in the past, partnered with New Hope, New Hope's Village Foundation for a 3-day event that serves smoked ribs, pork loins, and other barbecue favorites to residents. The event ended with a $10,000 donation from Cookies Food Products to the foundation. Community members also contributed $570 in tips during the event, bringing the partnership's total fundraising impact over its lifetime to more than $94,000. Lacey Tedrow, interim CEO at New Hope, says, "We had so much fun working with the Cookies Rib Wagon crew, meeting area supporters, and working together to benefit individuals served by New Hope." The barbecue company's support of New Hope included contributions tied to the Candy Classic Charity Golf Tournament. Now has totaled over $110,000, so just outstanding support from Cookies for New Hope over the years. Funds raised through the Rib Wagon Partnership will support services for more than 170 adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities here in Carroll and the surrounding area. That includes residential, vocational, and community programs. And we do need to step away here for just a moment. Stick around. Got more news on the way. It's right after this on KCIM.
To the class of 2026, congratulations from Pringer Slumberland and Flooring America. Your future is full of possibilities. Go forward with courage, confidence, and excitement for what's next. Congratulations from everyone at Pringer Slumberland and Flooring America.
Tune in every Thursday morning and afternoon for Raider Roundup, your opportunity to get a weekly look at what's new in the ESAC schools. Raider Roundup, every Thursday morning and afternoon, brought to you by Bank Midwest and Loring Hospital.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. Voting is entering its final days for the 2026 Coolest Thing Made in Iowa competition from the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, with the public invited to help determine this year's winner before polls close on May 15th. The contest, organized by the ABI and sponsored by Nicolet National Bank, highlights Iowa manufactured products and promotes careers here in the state's manufacturing industry. Four products remain in the competition's final round, most notably the Pella window set safety, steady set safety windows that are manufactured here in Pella, as well as their sites, which includes the facility here in Carroll. Also in that final round include the Ironclad Tornado Shelter and Gun Safes manufactured in Earlham, the MITM E-Power Station from Piosta, and the Weiler D1075 Blast Hole Drill that's produced in Knoxville. Voters may cast one vote per day per device each 24 hours through midnight May 15th at CoolestThingIA.com. The winner will be announced in just a few weeks on June 3rd during the Taking Care of Business Conference in Coralville. Manufacturing, by the way, employs more than 200,000 people in Iowa and contributes an estimated $35 billion annually to the state's economy, according to the Association of Business and Industry here in Iowa. The Recovery Center at Manning Regional Healthcare Center is expanding access to substance abuse treatment with a new resource to be found in Denison. The site, which is located in the Annex building at 105 North Main Street, will offer substance use consultations and transportation services for individuals seeking treatment. Through the Resource Center, people can meet one-on-one with a counselor to discuss residential and outpatient treatment options available at the Manning Recovery Center. Transportation from Denison to Manning will also be available upon request. Taya Vanami, who's director of the Recovery Center, says this new resource location removes barriers that often prevent people from seeking help. By offering transportation to treatment in Manning, we're making recovery more accessible and meeting individuals where they are on their journey. The Manning Recovery Center is a 16-bed co-ed rehab facility offering services like intake evals, medical detoxification, outpatient care, as well as residential treatment. And it's really one of the only substance abuse treatment facilities, at least in our region, but really in Western Iowa. The facility is licensed by the Iowa Department of Public Health and does accept most insurance plans.
That could grind another 2.5 billion bushels of corn. That could put corn back in the profitable range. Farmers don't want emergency payments. They want markets. And this is the one that is right there in front of us.
And a vote is scheduled for today in the U.S. House that would override EPA rules and allow E15 to be sold at all U.S. gas stations year-round. Iowa Renewable Fuels Association Executive Director Monty Shaw says the move would be a financial boost for farmers who grow corn.
When gas prices are $4 in Iowa, not California, but Iowa, it's time to do something. So I do think there's this feeling that enough of this stuff, we're going to move this forward.
According to the EPA, motorists can buy E15 at over 3,000 gas stations in 31 states. The agency says E15 offers better profit margins for retailers, and Shaw says consumers save because E15 is generally cheaper.
We think once we get a floor vote, will we lose a handful of Republicans that represent the foreign refiners that don't like the package that's been put together? Yeah, we're going to lose those, but we're going to get a lot of support from Democrats. It'll be, in our opinion, a strong bipartisan vote.
The EPA approved the use of E15 15 years ago in vehicles made after July 1st of 2001, but federal regulations have prohibited its sale during summer months due to smog concerns. Notably, the agency has waived that limit for the fifth consecutive summer going ahead, and federal policy for year-round E15 sales was included in a House budget bill in January and in the Farm Bill last month, but both of them were removed at the last minute. Shaw's association represents Iowa's 42 ethanol plants. He made his comments during a recent appearance in Iowa Press on Iowa PBS. And that is going to be wrapping up your look at the midday news right here on KCIM. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.